This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
I feel like we're finally crossing the chasm. This industry's been just a perfect case study for Jeffrey Moore's book, where the last 5 to 7 years, we've been having to create our own demand. But we've just kind of felt a little turn over the last year, where organizations are waking up and realizing that there's tools here that can help them.
This is Brad with Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here today with Adam Edmonds, the CEO of Allegiance. Welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Thank you.
I've been wanting to get down and meet you and learn a little bit more about your company. I know that your company is really kind of the combination of different companies now. Mm-hmm. Over the last, I guess, 18 months or so, you've acquired 3 different companies or kind of compiled them into one. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Allegiance and what it is that you guys do?
Okay. Well, the company as it stands today, like you said, is kind of the combination of a few others. I started a company coming up on 3 years now. The company I started that still exists today will be turned 3, I think, on March 1st. And that company, the original name was Silent Whistle. Our focus was on ethics reporting systems. It was a product that was, the need for that product was created when Sarbanes-Oxley came out. We also realized early on that that was really more of a product, that Silent Whistle product, rather than a company. And we were getting requests from some of our clients to help them out with employee surveys, customer feedback issues. And so we ended up acquiring another local company here in Salt Lake, and their name was Allegiance Technologies. We acquired them in September of 2005. And after we brought those two companies together, we renamed the new company Allegiance. Silent Whistle is still one of our very strong products. Allegiance was a better name for kind of the broader suite of tools that we were offering, which, you know, includes anything from customer feedback solutions, employee loyalty solutions, all the way over to still this ethics reporting product that we have. And then about 3 months ago, we actually acquired a company out in Virginia called National Hotline Services. And they specialized in that ethics reporting market as well. They've been around about 15 years. They had over 20% of U.S. hospitals as clients. And they'd been a longtime partner of ours, and we just decided that it would make sense to acquire them and still have about 22 employees out there.
The market, I guess, that you're serving, got all kinds of customers, all kinds of markets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got some public company issues that you're facing with Sarbanes. Is it compliance related then?
That ethics reporting product we have is directed at compliance. It's a very horizontal product where we don't have a particular focus. We've got a lot of public companies, obviously, and then we have a lot of clients that come from just very compliance-heavy verticals like healthcare, banking, insurance, government. We recently signed a pretty big deal with Homeland Security. We're taking all of Department of Homeland Security calls, the Department of Transportation. So, you know, that product is very compliance-heavy. But really, the future growth of our company is going to come on this customer feedback and employee feedback side of the business. We see that ethics piece is a very stable, very predictable product that is very, very good for us. We have great margins on that product. But really, you know, like I said, where we expect a lot of the exciting things to happen is more on this customer and employee front.
You know, blogs and things like that are a way for people to get closer to customers and get more real. What are you guys doing that's different? I mean, you obviously have mm-hmm. statistically relevant stuff and things like that.
Right. Well, if you look at this kind of customer feedback market, a couple of the big analysts, Gartner's beginning to call our space enterprise feedback management, where feedback, no matter where it comes from within the organization, is all getting rolled up together. But if you look at the kind of the history of this market, it's basically just been survey companies or consulting companies. You know, really what they would tell you, you know, we like to call them rearview mirror historians, where they could go in and analyze a problem and 6 months later tell you what that problem was, but they give you nothing you can really act on today. Really what makes us different is we're getting more into the predictive side of things. You know, the example that I like to use is typically in this industry, you know, if you kind of imagine backing your car up out of your driveway every morning, and let's say you hit a nail somewhere in your driveway. Usually it takes you a few miles before you realize that you hit a nail, before the tire really starts to get low in air pressure. You know, if that was a company that had hit that nail, once they realized they hit a nail, they'd go get one of these consulting firms or one of these survey companies to help them analyze at what point on their little journey did they hit that nail. And after 6 months, they could say, we think you hit the nail sometime in this period. And really where we have specialized with this latest version of our product, as soon as they hit the nail, we've been able to really cut down that turnaround time. So we could say, we can actually stop them while they're still driving and say, you just hit a nail. But where the focus and future of our company is going to lie is stopping them before they even hit that nail. And we've got a lot of products that are in development right now that are going to be pretty exciting on that front.
Okay, so enterprise feedback, as Gartner would call it. What does that mean? How do you deploy your product? Is it a web-based service? Is it connected to other people's websites?
It is. Everything we offer is web-based. Similar business model to Salesforce.com or Omniture. We really plug ourselves into the company in a number of different ways. For example, one of our big verticals for our customer analytics products is retail banking. For example, if you go into your bank and you give feedback to the teller, that would go into our system. If you fill out a comment card and send it in, that will go into our system. If you call a call center or you're on the website, we have links all over the place to ongoing get just feedback that happens during the normal course of business. And we give your bank the chance to quickly respond to you. Then at the same time, we're doing, you know, ongoing surveys, helping the bank be proactive about going out and finding what are the drivers of loyalty within their customer base. What is it that their customers really care about? You know, what areas of their business really need to be improved in order to increase retention? And banking, the reason that's one of our bigger verticals and really the ROI and our value prop that we are out there pitching is, you know, in a vertical like banking, if they can improve their customer turnover by just 5%, they can improve their profitability by almost 100%.
Wow. So lifetime value of customers and, you know, number of products that they can sell to a customer.
Exactly.
Things of that nature. Product names. You just announced a new product here recently. Tell me a little bit about your product suite.
Our product platform is called the Active Listening System. And there's a few different products that plug into that. We just released version 4.0 of the Active Listening System. And the products that plug into that platform are Customer Voice, which is this customer feedback product. The second is Employee Voice product, which is a very similar product. It's just more directed to internal employees. And then the third is our Active Survey tool. You know, for most of our competitors, that is their product, is a survey tool. And in our case, it's something that we can just kind of throw in.
Something that's a necessity, you're going to use it, obviously.
Yeah.
Give me a couple of customer examples, customer wins. You talked about banking. Is there anything else you can say you can get public?
Zions Bank is one of our biggest and most long-term clients. They've had a number of wins, great reference for us. They've been quoted saying we couldn't live without this system. And, you know, just one of the little case studies we did with them is prior to implementing our system, they were having a big problem just getting back and responding to customer feedback. And it was taking them over 2 weeks to do that. And we've helped them reduce that turnaround time to less than 24 hours. And typically it's actually just a couple of hours. And then the employee side, one case study that we've had done with Mountain America Credit Union is they were able to reduce their customer turnover by over 40% using our employee feedback products.
Interesting. And so it's something that's always there. I know that your company, the one that you founded, has an interesting company name to it, kind of this whole silent perspective. Is it an anonymity kind of thing inside the company?
The silent whistle product, yes. Sarbanes-Oxley, when that came out, Section 301 of that big, ugly law said that companies needed to provide an anonymous communication forum for their employees to bring about accounting irregularities and other potential fraud and unethical issues. And so that product, what we do is we kind of open up an anonymous channel for their employees that they can either go to a website and kind of fill out a form. We ask them questions to try and get the most out of that so that we can give the company a report that they can actually act on, or they can call a hotline and speak with a live operator, which is what this company in Virginia does that we acquired. So they can call and talk to one of our experts there and explain what's been going on. And then we pass that communication on to our client, to the company. It could be the audit committee. It could be a chief compliance or legal counsel. And then we give them all the case management tools and a way to continue a dialogue with the person who submitted that, and all this time keeping protect anonymity of that individual.
So you become a trusted third party to interface with management without exposing that person.
Yeah, we become, you know, kind of a little anonymous communication broker. And we were featured actually in Inc. magazine last year. Inc. did a big article on whistleblower systems, and we were included as one of the top three in that space. So it's something that we do really, really well.
Whistleblower systems. I kind of like Gartner's description better. It's it doesn't sound nearly as, I don't know, maybe it's getting back to our fifth grade challenges.
Then. Yep. Well, just actually a couple weeks ago, CRM Magazine, they did an article on EFM, Enterprise Feedback Management. We were named as one of the top three vendors there. And then a week later, they did an article, and the top analyst from Gartner specifically spoke on Allegiance and gave us a lot of good comments and kind of indicated that we've become the trailblazer in this really early on industry here.
Today, the systems that you create, how much of it is customized for each customer versus you got a bag of tricks that you walk in with?
We do walk in with a bag of tricks and some templates, especially we really have tried to focus down on a few industries, retail banking, hospitals, retail. We do walk in with templates and say, here's what has worked for other clients, but they do have the capability of customizing it to meet their needs. We do a lot of that for them, but you know, once they get on the system, they really, as they start to learn how to use it, they can customize it to do whatever they want it to do. It's pretty flexible technology. It's one of the beauties of being a software as a service organization.
This seems like something that would be a high interest for an exec, top level CEO, kind of C-bank titles. Seems like the more you get into your business at the higher levels, the less you actually get to interface with customers.
Right.
And so this feels like a way for them to hear what's happening out there in the field while they're still attending all those crazy meetings and quarterly filings and all those other things.
We're selling to C-level people, CIOs, CEOs, marketing executives. Some organizations will have, you know, quality assurance executives. But yeah, it does give them an insight into what's going on with the customer base. You know, what's interesting is companies have spent millions of dollars implementing CRM systems, but they still don't understand their customers. And like you said, they're really just trying to do anything right now through blogs, podcasts. They're just doing as much as they can to try and learn a little bit about, you know, what their customer base is feeling and thinking. Like I said, for a CEO, they usually don't have time to have a lot of conversations with their clients, and we can roll up a lot of information, put it in a nice, easy to understand dashboard. You know, Scott Anderson up at Zions Bank actually prints out customer comments that they receive through our system, and he reads them on airplanes.
Now, the dashboard, is it constantly updated, like a Salesforce.com, a new thing pops in and it's right there?
Yep.
Is it weighted so that if, you know, various issues have, you know, bigger triggers to create attention earlier?
That's a lot of what our new product and our, you know, what we're developing now is those triggers, those drivers are different for each company, and they can be different even within the same company. They can be different for a different geographical region. And so we kind of go in with our own weights and scores into these dashboards, but we're creating the system so that it can adjust on the fly. And the system can learn that, you know, your customers in Scottsdale, Arizona feel completely different than your customers in San Jose, and they feel completely different than your customers in Salt Lake City. You know, we can start to weigh all those different items, assign different metrics and tracking to each of them, and roll them all up into, like you said, a dashboard that's constantly being updated and refreshed.
So one question I have for you, Adam, is the industry at large. I mean, Sarbanes has changed everything. There's a lot of pressure on public companies today for compliance, and even people that are non-public are looking to be closer to their customers. What do you see evolving in the industry over the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, we really play in, you know, these two different industries. There's the compliance side of the business, which is still just growing at an extremely rapid pace. Sarbanes has really has had a big spillover effect into a lot of other industries. For example, the FDIC is putting out letters telling their banking, you know, all the different banks in the nation, they're not demanding that they do things, but they're highly recommending that they do things that are SOX compliant. Insurance agencies, healthcare, like I mentioned, has always been a heavy compliance field. And, you know, even the high-tech world and other industries, I think everyone's beginning to listen a little bit more to the compliance side. So I think that industry is going to be stable and growing. And then in this kind of enterprise feedback market, this customer and employee side of what we do, I feel like we're finally crossing the chasm. This industry has been just a perfect case study for Jeffrey Moore's book, where the last 5 to 7 years, we've been having to create our own demand. But we've just kind of felt a little turn over the last year where organizations are waking up and realizing that there's tools here that can help them. You know, it's getting beyond, like I mentioned, what our competitors do. It's more than just surveys or consulting now. You know, we're finding ways to wrap technology around this in a way that a CEO can quickly understand a problem and begin to predict problems before they happen. So, you know, we're really excited about the growth in both industries, and we like the position that we're in to be big players in both of them.
How much of it is because of the technology? Is it because we have web-based tools today versus old-fashioned software, client-server stuff? I mean, do you have any opinion on that?
Obviously, having the web-based product has really spurred a lot of the growth. You know, I think there was some slow adopt rates at first because when you're dealing with compliance issues, you know, a big company like, you know, Boeing or Merck isn't going to want some little company in South Jordan, Utah, housing all of this very sensitive data about sexual harassment cases and fraud things that could be going on. But the more that SaaS becomes a trusted technology, and the more Salesforces and Omnitures that we have out there and growing, I think that will continue to spur a lot of the growth.
I appreciate your time today, Adam.
Thank
Glad
you.
to be able to meet you and learn about your company. Wish you luck in continuing to charge into this market.
Thanks a lot, and likewise.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.